Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Lifelines with Gwendolyn Buckner. As promised, tonight's guest is Ms. Doris McMillan. She is the President and Chief Strategic Officer for McMillan Communications Incorporated. They are a full-service communications firm specializing in strategic positioning and effective communications based in the D.C. area. Ms. McMillan, welcome. Glad to have you this evening.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm very glad to be here. Looking forward to having a good conversation and hopefully sharing with your audience some things that they can do to be more effective communicators.
I'm sure you will. Tell us a little bit about how folks who are listening can get in contact with you and a little bit more about McMillan Communications.
All right. Well, first of all, if they'd like to go to my website, it's www.McMillan.com. I've got an anniversary coming up here soon this year. I will have been in business for 30 years. I can hardly believe it. But I tell everybody I'm an accidental entrepreneur. I've been a news anchor in Detroit, New York, and here in the Washington, D.C. area for most of my career. And then when I left the news business in 1986, I thought, I'll find another anchor job. I'll get back into television. But it didn't quite work that way. I ended up transitioning out of doing the news every day to doing a lot of different television productions for government agencies, corporations, nonprofits. I do a lot of voiceover work, and also found that all of the skills that I had gained as a journalist were transferable. So I always tell people, would you please rent my movies. I used to tell my mother I was going to be rich and famous. And she said, honey, get a real job. Anybody can act. But I always wanted to act as well. So it wasn't until some years after I left the news business that I started acting in movies. So if everybody would rent my movies, I'd be real grateful. And that way, that will ensure I don't eat cat food in my old age. So if they will get In the Line of Fire with Clint Eastwood, Murder at 1600 with Wesley Snipes. I did a couple of episodes for The West Wing, The Wire, Head of State with Chris Rock and Bernie Mac, NCIS. I always play a news anchor, and I play Doris McMillan. So it's just one of the many things that I've added to my core business. But primarily what I'm doing now and on time, helping people to be better communicators, whether it's in front of the news media, I do a lot of media training, or they have to make a presentation in front of one person or 1,000 people. And there are certain things that, if you really want to be a good communicator, there's certain things you need to do and practice so that your performance is all that you would have it to be. And by the way, I always say it's showtime.
Indeed, indeed. And you've got an amazing resume and a lengthy career, certainly in addition to opening your own business. Tell us a little bit about some of the unique experiences that you've had within McMillan Communications itself.
Well, I'm always amazed every day the kind of work that I end up doing. For instance, today well, last night actually, as I was preparing to go to bed, and you know the life of a coach and an entrepreneur seems to never end sometimes, I was preparing to go to bed and I got a text from someone that I had given a proposal to, excuse me, to do some communications coaching about 2 months ago. Well, they called me last night and they said, we really need you to show up with us today at the studio. And I thought, well, let me look at the calendar. I had just moved an appointment, so out I went. And I was helping, it's a nonprofit in D.C., to better communicate their message. They had to rebrand. They'd had some scandal in the organization a few years back. So they were coming out of that, moving forward. You know, the horizons were brighter and larger, and they were helping our youth. So I went to the studio, helped them to do what I know how to do, and they had a great performance on air, and I was so very proud of them. Now, next week, I will be in that same studio again, but this time, I'll be the pronouncer for the Spelling Bee here in D.C., and this will be the one where the kids who win will end up going to the Scripps National. So every day is a different day. It's a different, I don't want to call it a job because it's not a job, but it's a different experience. But all of these things they all come into that area of what I do, of what I started out doing some years ago. So I love the experiences. I'm always meeting people, you know, having an opportunity to build relationships, to learn new things. So we have to be lifelong learners if we're going to continue to grow.
Yep, I agree with all of that. And I like one of the things that you said about your efforts, about your day-to-day work, not being a job, so to speak. Because, you know, as you said, you are a coach, but you're also an entrepreneur. So in that vein, I have a lot of listeners that are interested in entrepreneurship and who are coaches trying to figure out how to better run or manage their businesses strategically, how to develop them, how to focus on sales and marketing and develop systems for getting their businesses day-to-day work done. What have you done over the course of your years now, as you're coming up on an anniversary, as you said, in order to develop systems that correlate to the core values of you as an individual, but allow you to run your business since you can't be every place at one time?
Oh my goodness. Well, I'll tell you something. One of the things that I have learned is that I cannot do it all by myself. And I have to be able to say to someone, you know, I can't do this job, but let me recommend someone that can do it. And so I think it's going to be very important to build your network and then to make sure that the people that you want to recommend are really good at what they do. I'm more than happy to recommend you if I know your work, if I know that you're a person of integrity, if I know that you're going to keep your word, that you're going to take care of the client. I certainly don't mind making referrals. In fact, that's how I get most of my business. People are always referring. For instance, one of the business systems that I have in place is I have a bookkeeper. This wasn't something that I had done up until maybe about, 2007 or 8, when I started looking at different ways to grow my business. So when you get certified by certain entities where it will open doors for you to do business, they want to see a balance sheet of profit and loss. And I think one of the biggest problems for small businesses is how they keep their finances. And because they don't keep them like they should, it precludes them from being able to take advantage of business opportunities. where they may have to present their finances. You know, people are saying, yeah, you're a really nice person, but let me see your books. You know, for instance, let's say you wanted someone to invest in your coaching business. They want to see what the return on investment is going to be. They want to see how you manage your business, how you're managing the finances. And you have to be able to pull that sheet down. One of the first things I did once I incorporated is I had to get QuickBooks. Now, my former bookkeeper just got diagnosed with cancer. And so I'm interviewing bookkeepers because I realize the importance of having someone who can keep my numbers in the right place. And so that when I need to hit the button, if I need to go to the bank, I can hit the button and say, this is where I am. So that's one of the ways that you strategically position yourself. If you're going to be in business, you've got to be in business the right way. This is not a fly-by-night operation. People are looking at how you are running things. They want to be able to have the confidence that you're doing things the right way. In terms of sales and marketing, and I think that's going to be really, really important, if you want to build your client base, you're going to have to get out and network. You can have the greatest thing since sliced bread, but if nobody knows about it, then you have no business. So networking is going to be very important. You know, letting people know what you do. You need to get a lot of business cards printed. In fact, one of the things that I did is I had a logo designed for Macmillan Communications. That's my name, Macmillan, and the I is a microphone that leans to the right. Talk is not cheap, as you know. And so I have a picture on my card. What I have found is that when you put a professional picture on your business card, people do not throw that card away. Some of them I wish they would throw away because it's been years that I've had my picture on the card and I've grown up a little bit. So I want the more current picture, but they keep holding on. I'm like, could you please throw that thing in the trash? But I made the investment. I got the business cards, got a great deal on them. You want to be a resource to other people as well. So That's one of the things that I think is real important. I had a virtual assistant who was helping me in my business some years ago. And one of the things that she told me that she did, and I said, let me borrow that from you. She said she took one day out of the week where she would not do any client business, but she did her business. And that was her one day to do sales and marketing, where she would, you know, reach out to people. If she needed to go to a networking event, she would go to a networking event. But she did that so that she could work on her business as opposed to working in the business. And it's always a challenge, you know, when it's just you, because you have to do so many things. But I think it's going to be real important for, you know, the coaches that are listening to carve out that time to go out, to meet other people, to make calls, to send out your brochures or send out your email blasts, to let people know what you're doing. And also to use social media, because that will help you as well. But these are just some of the things that I think are really important if you're going to succeed in business.
That's great. Some of the things I heard you say, build a network, the whole relationship building piece, and also be a resource, which is you know, the other end of building that network, building a network of people that can help you, but also being available to help others. As you build that resource and become part of a network as well. And then the third thing you said was hiring out for things that you don't do well.
Oh, yes.
A virtual assistant.
You know what? Nobody does everything well. And I think it's very important to be very honest with yourself about what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are. In fact, you may want to do your own SWOT analysis, your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats. But look at what you do well and focus on that. And what you don't do well, if you're able to get someone to come in and help you, like I'd be a terrible bookkeeper. The IRS would be coming after me because my stuff would not be where I would want it to be. But I recognize that. I said, I didn't go to school for accounting. I went to school for communication. So hire the bookkeeper. Make the investment.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I know, too, having talked with you before and having worked with you, I know that you are very heavily focused on absolutely doing what you do best. So I know that you find that 20% that only you can add value to your organization and focus all your time and effort on that and seek to find resources to help you in those other areas. So I can certainly attest that you live of what you speak.
Yeah. Well, you know something, when I look back over the years, Lynn, that I've been in business, I recognize that I would not be where I am today if it weren't for the kindness, the generosity, and the grace that's been extended to me as an entrepreneur. Because there have been times when there are certain things I wasn't able to do, and it was a financial thing. But people trusted me, and that's why I said it's so important that you be a person of integrity, a person who keeps your word. But they helped me. And I was able, I said, you know, if I can't do anything for you, they said, pay it forward. And so the reason I'm able to be in business today is because of all of the help that I've received along the way over the years. And I've always tried to make sure that I pay it forward by helping someone else. I think the person who is stingy with information, one, it's not a person I want to be around. Because the pie really is large enough out here for everybody to have a slice. You know, some folks are greedier than others, but there's enough pie for everyone. You bring a particular area of expertise to your coaching. I know I'm a communications coach, and I do give some life lessons along the way because I think I've lived long enough to learn a few things. You know, you're helping people to be, you know, to take them to another level where they're hiring you to help them. And then I know folks are coming to me because they want to be helped in the communications area. But the other thing is people will come to you and say, oh, do you know, or can you do such and such? And you say, no, I don't do that, but let me recommend you to someone else.
Right.
And so I think that's so important. You never can go wrong giving. Because whatever you sow, you reap. So
like
if you're
you said,
out there...
No, I was going to say, having that mindset of abundance as opposed to scarcity just really changes that and allows personal doors to be open when you're able to kind of really get that set in your mind that there is enough out there.
Mm-hmm. And you will attract that when you open. If you stand with your arms folded, nothing comes in and nothing goes out. But as soon as you open your arms and extend your hands, things come in and then things can go out. So it's there's a nice flow. But if you are a stingy person, don't expect to grow because people won't like you and they will not help you.
Right. Yep. Yeah, definitely don't expect to grow, like you said. And with that, I'd love to hear from some of our audience. The guest call-in number is 646-716-9397. If you're listening and would like to weigh in or comment or ask a question of Ms. Doris McMillan, please feel free to give us a call and I'll make sure that we get you on the air. I wanted to ask you some questions. I know that you do a lot. Describe for us some of the work that you've done as an image consultant.
Well, you know how I feel about the image, right?
I do.
Because you and I just recently did a training. Let me say this. I was standing in the bank yesterday, And this young woman, attractive woman, she would have been considered a full-figured woman, came into the bank. Now, she was very nice, very pleasant demeanor. But she had on this dress, a skirt, excuse me, that was about 3 inches too tall, too short, with a split up the back that allowed everybody in the bank standing behind her to almost see what she had on underneath that skirt. And the skirt was so tight that it wrinkled in the front. And then she had on this really pair of high heels. Now, I don't know what the lady did for a living, but I know what people might think she did. And so when I talk to my clients, I'm talking to them about their image. Research has shown that, based on a study by social psychologist Albert Mehrabian from UCLA, that 55% of how people perceive you is based on how you look. Give you another example. I was at a networking event, and a young woman who was a coach was our speaker. I looked at how she fixed herself up, and I said to myself, when she stood up at the podium, I said, I would never ask her to coach me or anybody I know. Now, why do you think I said that? Well, she came in, she looked like she had just stepped out of her bedroom. She had on a pair of flat shoes, a little run over, a pair of pants that weren't crisp looking. She had on a blouse that looked a little wrinkled. She had on no makeup, and she looked like she had not done much to comb her hair. And I said to myself, self, how does she expect to attract clients and let these clients know that she can help them? Now, she could be a rocket scientist, but just looking at the cover of the book, it was not appealing. And so I tell my my clients that when you're going out to speak to folks, you've got to look the part. It's showtime. And your image is, it's not everything, but it's a good piece of the pie. So 55% of how you put yourself together, how you comb your hair, put your face on, how you wear your clothes, and this goes for men as well. People are judging whether they're going to believe you, whether you have any credibility, and it's all that you haven't opened your mouth, but it's all based on what you look like. So, you know, I tell people, look in the mirror, a long mirror, before you leave out. You know, is everything in order? I tell women with, you know, now that they're wearing these shoes where, you get a nosebleed because they're so high, and if you fell off, you'd break your ankle. I tell them, look at the heels on your shoes. You know, are they worn down? Is the tap still on them? I tell men, shine your shoes. There's nothing worse than a man in a good-looking suit than you look down at his shoes, and they're scuffed. They don't shine. It says to me, you're not taking care of you, so you may not take care of me. And I always tell people, when you fix yourself up, what you're saying to your audience, whether it's one or 1,000, is I respect you, and I take it seriously that you've come to hear me. So let me at least look the part. And then there's 38% out of this pie. People are listening to how you sound. If you don't sound friendly, if you don't sound like you care, they're not going to want to do business with you, because I think the adage is people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And then actually 7% of what you say gets heard. And if everything else is a distraction, then your 7% does not get heard.
Right. And we experience that every day. We experience that every day in our business dealings and even not so businessy dealings, just our lives as both producers and consumers. We experience this, and we make observations of these things in other people all the times, and maybe not so much for ourselves. We might not be looking in the mirror, as you said, often enough.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want people to think we're being superficial, but this is the research, and this research shows that people are always looking at you. Unfortunately, when we are judging machines, every one of us, whether we admit it or not, but we're looking at people, making decisions about them, and oftentimes we can make wrong decisions. But, and that's just based on how you decided to put yourself together.
Right. Yep. We focus a lot on, we make assumptions and we make interpretations. And all of that comes from, even if we don't want to call it judging, at the very least, it's observation. But that observation that leads to decision making, you know, is still, you know, is still making a judgment. So it certainly is very important for people to take note of others, but also of themselves, most importantly.
I mean, take for instance, I'm looking for a life coach, someone to help me move my where I am to the next level. Well, I let's say I see you. Now, you happen to be one of the pleasant people, okay? You have a great smile, and you're good looking too. I think I should tell
you. Very gracious.
That.
Very gracious.
But I would be looking to someone like you because, one, you have a very caring demeanor, okay? And I'm looking for somebody who can kind of help me wherever I am in my particular life, but I want to feel like you care. And so, and I've not, let's say I've never met you, but I'm meeting you for the first time. I want to make sure that there's going to be some good, there's a good vibe there, and that I feel like there's, you know, we'll get along, and that you will listen to me and hear me. Some folks look like they've been sucking lemons, and I'm thinking, I don't think they'll be able to help me.
Yeah,
so I
it,
tell
it
people,
makes a big difference.
Right, look pleasant. You'll attract a whole lot more business that way. You know, look open. You know, people want to know that you are going to care about where they are, which is, and you do, because that's why we're in the coaching business.
Right. Right. And being, like you said, being open. I think that's a, that resonates well with me. Yeah. Looking like you are open. We talk all the time or, communicate with people all the time who have, who are looking off in this, into space and can't, you know, look someone in the eye, or the communication with one's arms folded, all of those things that just give us the assumption that things are not going to go well, that this is not what we're looking for. And yet it seems that we're all looking for the same things and yet cannot find it, even in some cases among ourselves.
Right. Well, you know, body language is one of those things that's also very important. People are looking at your body language. They're looking at your nonverbals. And, you know, you may think, oh, well, I'm sure that I'm going to get this person as a client. But there's something that said in your body language that wasn't friendly, or it seemed too closed. And that will also preclude you being able to build a relationship. And I think building relationships is really important. We were not meant to be out here alone. And so, you know, connecting with other people, and I'm coming back to what we started talking about, but making the connection, you know, meeting people. But when you care about other people, it's very, what can I say? I want to say comforting, but that's not the word. But when people feel that you care about them, then they're willing, more willing to talk with you, entertain, you know, doing business with you. So,
right. When you have some level of empathy that they can feel and identify, when, you know, when they get you, when they can understand your who, that really just makes a difference in how that relationship is going to go. And also, the speed with which it's going to develop.
Right. Not every relationship has to take 10 years to build. I think, you know, as we go through our day, we're constantly building relationships as we go along. Let's say I go to the coffee shop in the morning, you know, to go get my coffee and my bagel. I see the same person every day. One of the most important things I do is to find out their name. Because one's name is the sweetest sound you'll ever hear. Okay? Find out that person's name. Build that relationship, whether it's 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 years, everywhere you go, you're building relationships. You never know who's going to be your next client. You can't underestimate what they may have in their pocket based on their position. And so let people, again, know what you're doing. And you do that when you encounter people and you take the time to say something to them, find out what their name is, have a little conversation with them, and then you go on to the next thing. But building relationships is absolutely key.
See, and you've gone into teaching now. You've gone into and I love it. I mean, these are the things that people aren't familiar with. Learning someone's name and being able to use it, being able to talk about ourselves based on what we find out about a person that we're talking to. That's how a conversation is had. Sure, as coaches, as entrepreneurs, we are always we always have that sales hat on, but it has to be in the context of what problems we can solve. And the only way we really know what to communicate is based on what we've learned about others that we communicate with from the beginning.
And then that happens, Wendell, when you have good listening skills. I mean, God gave us two ears and one mouth, and you know, somehow or another, we tend to use that 2 ounce muscle in our mouth more than we use the two ears that are attached to the side of our head. But I want to say, part of being a really good coach is being able to listen really well and then to ask good questions, good follow-up questions. You know, as coaches, we're not there to give them the answers. We're helping them to find their own answers, and we're guiding them along. So, you know, being a good listener is something that is very key. And I know even to this day, I've been a talker most of my life, though, because I've always been communicating information. But I have found in these latter years the importance of really being a good listener, being able to give good feedback. And sometimes I say you do drive-through communication. You know, when we go to Mickey D's or we go to Burger King or Wendy's or wherever we're going, when we drive up to the little squawk box, we tell the person, they say, how may I help you? And we say, well, I'd like a Big Mac, a large fry, and a Coke. And so what do? They repeat back to you. You said you'd like a Big Mac, a large fry, and a Coke. Yes, that's correct. Please come around. Your order costs whatever. And I think as coaches, we have to do that same thing. But you can't give feedback unless you've listened and heard it.
How about that?
People want to be heard. And I think as a coach, you may be the one person that takes the time to sit and listen to what your client has to say and show that you care about them and that you're able to help them. And let me just make one other little point too about the name. If one more person tells me, oh, I can't remember names, let me give them just a little tip on how to do that. One of the reasons we don't remember names is because we don't really hear them. So as the person introducing themselves, let's say I'm going to introduce myself to you. I would say, hello, my name is Doris, Doris McMillan. So that one gives you an opportunity to hear my name twice. When you hear my name twice, then you have to say, Doris, it's so good to meet you. And in the course of the conversation, you need to use my name. So that helps you remember my name, and it makes me think you really care about me. So it's an exercise that takes practice. Now, will you remember them in another day? I don't know. But if you've been building a relationship with them, you cannot build a relationship with somebody that you don't know. And when I go out to dinners, you know, these rubber chicken dinners, I'll go to the table, and sometimes I'm sitting at a table with people, like 9 other people that I do not know. So the way I decided to break the ice on that is I come to the table, I say, oh, hello, everyone. I'm Doris McMillan, and I don't eat with strangers. So what's your name?
Right.
And then I make sure I repeat their name as I go around the table. And during the course of the conversation at the table, I use their name. So that's just a little tip as you all are out, you coaches are out there networking and, you know, trying to build your business. Make people feel special by remembering their name.
And we all know that works. We all know as coaches that works. It allows us to build a relationship so much more quickly. Personally, in that same realm, not only do I repeat names, but I mm-hmm. also try to remind myself, just as a quick quiz, of what we talked about. So, you know, I might say to myself, that's right, that's Doris that doesn't like to eat alone or that doesn't like to eat with strangers. Just right. something that allows me to recall the conversation and associate the name and the content that I've just heard from that person.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I do, Wendell, is I carry a little pen and a little pad in my my purse.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I pull it out and I just make little notes. Or if I get a business card from someone, I take my pen out and I write a little note on the back of that business card, you know, what day I met them and something that we may have talked about or where we met one another.
Yep. And so, that definitely works well. Something I do and will, and I want to talk about a different aspect of your coaching with this. But one of the things that I did when I was in corporate America, as an IT director, I constantly met with vendors, and big vendors usually come in groups. So, you know, there'll be 5 or 6 people as opposed to 1 or 2. And what I would do is as they gave me their business card, I would take the business card and very uniquely, I put them off to my left or right, and I would assemble the business cards in the order of the people and where they were assembled on the, on the conference room table, so that I knew mm-hmm. which person was on the left, which person was on the right, who was first, second, mm-hmm. third, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Just because it allowed me to be able to immediately make them more desiring to meet my needs because mm-hmm. I met their needs in associating with who they actually were and what they were here for.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is a brilliant move. And it does, it works. You know, especially when you're handling a group of people, but it makes them feel good about you because you took the time, however you did it, whatever your system was, you took the time to remember their names and to use their names.
Right. Being able to manage that room certainly mm-hmm. Plays a role. Once again, for folks who are listening online, feel free to call in. The phone number for call-ins is 646-716-9397. We are currently, we have 50 minutes left in Lifelines with Wendell and Buckner and tonight's guest, Doris McMillan. Doris, I know also that you are an executive coach. Can you tell us a little bit about how the executive coaching realm differs from life coaching and image consulting? What do you find are some of the uniqueness about coaching with executives?
Well, believe it or not, we all get out of bed the same way, but we've all got our own set of insecurities. Mm-hmm. And even though these people are at the top of their game, they've each got their little things that they're concerned about. For me, when I deal with these folks, it's on the communication side, but I also get a chance to share with them, some life lessons that I've learned along the way. I'm primarily working with some of the executive coaches to help them give a better interview, talk to someone in the media. Maybe somebody's knocking on their door saying, I want an interview about whatever practice or policy they may have in their company. But they have their own little things that bother them as well, because they're human. I guess it depends on who your client is. But for me, I think this is an important part of me because it really does determine how I run my business, how I do business with people. But I became a Christian in 1986. And that really changed a lot about how I did everything. And it really impacted how I do business. And so I realized that for all of the success that these executives may have, there's a certain component sometimes that is missing from their life. And I don't make any bones about asking them, if they've made all the money that they can make and they've got all the position they can have and, they've got all the trappings and the things that we think we need in life. I always ask them, where are they spiritually? And interestingly enough, a number of them have turned to me and said, well, I'm nowhere. I'm kind of searching. I feel like something is missing from my life. And so for me, it's an opportunity to share Jesus Christ with them. Now, I know that folks will say, that's not PC. Well, I guess I'm not PC. I'm more into JC, if you know what I mean. But I realize that for all of the success we may have, we're not taking a dime with us. They will not be closing the casket and putting any money in it or any things or any position. And so for me, it's very important that I share this. Now, if they're not interested, I don't bother them. I know how to cut it off. But most of the people that I've worked with in my coaching position, and this is one of the things that would, people will tell you about me, that I am concerned about where you're going to spend eternity. I want you to be a success while you're on this side, but I want you to be a success when you're on the other side. And so, I'm never trying to offend anyone, but I realize that I have a gift that they need, and I want to give it to them. And so that's probably another unique thing about my business. I haven't lost any customers or clients that I know of as a result of sharing my faith. But I think it's important that if you're going to be there, if you're going to do that, your walk and your talk, or as we say in the television business, your audio and your video have to match.
And that's great advice for anyone. You're doing and you're sharing what you believe in. I think it's great mm-hmm. that you're able to not have to separate yourself or your business from your value system and actually use your business as a vehicle for everything that you believe in, be it communications or be it your Christian faith.
Mm-hmm. Well, I figure that's what I'm here for. I liken it to the Apostle Paul, who was a tent maker. He was a very educated man. He had great skills, great oratorical skills, but he had to make a living, and he was a tent maker while he was out sharing his hope and faith in Christ. And I figure I'm in the marketplace, and, McMillan Communications is my vehicle. I'm providing what I believe to be an excellent service, and people are buying it, And they also know that as a result of what I believe and how I live it, that I'm going to treat them well and they're going to get excellent service. So that's important to me. And I think we're encouraged to be, what is it, wise as serpents, gentle as doves. And so, you know, you have to be very mindful of what it is your client needs. And then, you know, you're able to share those things along the way.
Right, right. Nope, that, I think that makes all the difference. So we've got 15 minutes left in our planned broadcast, and then I'll bring on anybody who has some questions or comments that they'd like to make who calls in. Again, the call-in number is 646-716-9397. I have worked with you on your program, your presentation, Say It Like a Pro. Mm-hmm. Would you tell the audience a little bit about that? Just give them, you know, don't give it all away, but give us a little bit more of what people can expect in the delivery of that that product alone.
Well, on that particular one, this is where I'm telling people that they have to start getting ready for prime time. And we cover three areas as a part of this training. And the three areas are how you look, how you sound, and what you say. And that is the core of my teachings. You know, it depends on if we're doing media training or if we're doing spokesperson presentation coaching. Those three things are evident in whatever I teach. Because again, we go back to how people are perceiving you, what they see when they and what they hear when they when you open your mouth. If your audio and your video aren't matching, then there's a disconnect. You've lost business. So I really tell people it's important that you put yourself together well. Look well-groomed, buy clothes, don't buy trendy clothes. You know, if you're going to work, you're not going to the nightclub and you're not going to the playground. So, you know, you need to look good. Men, I tell the exact same thing. You know, there's a way to look because other people are looking at you and sometimes they're saying, gee, I want to be like that person. Well, you look like you just, you know, woke up and fell out of the bed, that's not quite the image that you want to give. And so that whole image piece, to say it like a pro, is just getting you ready so that when you stand up to deliver your message, people are not distracted by what they see so that they can tune in to hear what it is you want to say. And I'm working on a book now, Wendelin, called It's Showtime, Wowing Your Audience with Power, Passion, and Presence. And those three areas, how you look, how you sound, what you say, will be incorporated in the book because without those three things, there's really no good communication going on.
Very good. And I think the book idea is great. It's yet another venue for you to deliver your core message, which is one of the things that I really love about your business, is how you have taken the various symptoms that that your clientele might have, be it in trying to find a job or trying to present themselves as an executive, trying to redefine themselves to the marketplace. You've been able to do so still heralding your core message of communications, no matter how it's packaged. Everyone that you speak to is still with for that root cause, that same solution is in the communications factor, however it needs to be repaired or however we need to be prepared, whatever it is that needs to take place is all in with the goal of being able to appropriately communicate what it is and who it is we are. And I'm just, it is amazing to me the myriad ways that you've been able to do that without having to divert yourself from that core message.
Well, it's come with years of experience and training. And so I'm hoping that the people who seek me out for their service will recognize that, you know, they're going to get they're going to get their money's worth. I really want people to be the very best that they can be. I want them to be their personal best. And so it gives me great pleasure to work with people to identify, you know, what their strong suits are and what their weaknesses are, and work to strengthen their strong suit and to minimize the weakness. So it's really been a blessing. I never would have thought that this is what I would do, but I get a lot of gratification out of helping other people to be their best.
And in helping other people be your be their best, you've also you have not declined in seeking to stretch yourself. I know that you were involved in the creation of a documentary. Can you tell our audience a little bit about that?
Yeah, the name of the documentary, it's an award-winning documentary. It won first place at the American Black Film Festival. But it's called Brown Babies, the Mischling's Kinder Story, which Mischling is mixed and Kinder is children. And it tells the story of those of us who were born in Germany to German women and GI, black GI fathers. And there were about 5,000 of us, I'm one of them, of course, but about 5,000 of us that were left in Germany with no home. The Germans didn't want us and the Americans didn't want us. And so many of us were put in orphanages. I was one of them, and then adopted by American families. And so I ended up writing a book called Mixed Blessing, which is also on my website at MacmillanCommunications.com. But it tells the story of my 30-year search to find my birth mother, and this only happened after my mom that adopted me died. And she and I had not a very good relationship at all. So, but we did the documentary, and it's playing across the country. There was a big outlet at Bowie State University. We went there first, and we had a big screening. So what we do now is for people who are interested in seeing the documentary, they can go to TUGG.com and find a local theater in their neighborhood. And if they can get enough people to go in and pay for a ticket, they can sit right in their theater seat and watch the documentary. But we're so very pleased that we've been able to tell this story, to get the word out, because it's a small pocket of us, and we didn't want to go to our graves without people knowing the story of the Brown Babies. So I hope that people will get a chance to see it. You can also go to Brown Babies Film, Brown Babies Project, brownbabiesfilm.com, and look at a trailer of the documentary. But thank you for letting me share that with the audience.
I think it's very important. I think it's a great story to tell, very interesting. And also, it just shows that even as coaches, we continue to stretch our own envelope. We continue to expand our comfort zone so that we're able to reach more people and share more of the reality of our lives with others. It goes back to what we talked about at the very beginning in terms of creating and making relationships.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So it's always, you know, whenever I get an opportunity to talk about the documentary. It's always a real treat to be able to do that. We're talking about, writing some more books, telling the story, but where we are now, we are able to go out and to talk to different audiences, for different organizations, especially during Black History and Women's History Month. So, and it's also a good place to network and meet new clients who may need coaching.
Right. Right. I would imagine that there are, within the audience, there are lots of books to be written and movies to be made, if people would just see it within themselves enough to bring it out. And I certainly know that coaching and the coaching experience can take care of that, can really foster that growth within an individual to be all that they were supposed to be, all that they have within them all along.
The coach is a real special person, because I think people who desire to help others, I think that it speaks volumes. And so for all of you all out there who decided that you wanted to be a coach because you wanted to do something meaningful in your life, I take my hat off to you and I salute you. I would say handle your clients carefully. Be kind, and make sure that you serve them in a manner that's going to help them reach their goals. 15, 20 years ago, I don't think we were doing a whole lot of talking about coaches. We called them mentors. So in a sense, your coach is someone who's going to help you. And they will kind of mentor you too. But I want to encourage all of you all to be the very best coach that you can be. Don't compromise your values. If one door closes, another one will open. And so don't freak out when the business isn't coming like you hope it will. You just stay the course. And you'll have everything that you need.
Yeah, and that's a great final thought. I appreciate you leaving us with that. We're coming to the top of the hour, and Ms. McMillan, before we leave, give us some more information about how we can get in touch with you, and for those who are listening that would like to take the next step, what that would be.
Okay. Well, the next step is we're always looking for new clients. I like to look at what I'm doing now to attract them. And I'm thinking, is there anything new that I need to do? And I do spend time, talking to other people because, there's nothing new under the sun. And so I might learn something from someone else if I pay attention and listen that may help me to grow where I am and to be the best coach that I could be. I'm looking at doing some new things. Don't want to talk about them just yet, but I'm certainly exploring things that will grow the business. But there's a very special place in my heart for people who need some encouragement. Need some new direction, need some hope. And I think as a really grounded coach and somebody who really cares about people that, there's a lot of help out there for people who need it. And that would be in the form of a coach. And not only that, we're cheaper than a psychiatrist.
Thank you so much. Once again, just some websites for you guys, for your listeners. McMillanCommunications.com, TUGG.com, if you want to be able to get enough folks together to view the movie. BrownBabiesFilm.com, so you can go check it out, see a trailer, and better understand even more of what it's all about. Feel free to visit those and learn more about Ms. McMillan and how she can help you. Once again, my name is Wendolyn Buckner. I am the CEO and founder of Lace for Life Coaching and Consulting. I can be reached at www.laceforlife.com, or you can reach me via email at ceo@laceforlife.com. Before we go, I do want to say two things. Number one, we appreciate our sponsor, audible.com. I am an audible.com user. I have been since 2012. I love what they allow me to do in terms of listening to audiobooks of all kinds. I've grown a lot, learned a lot, and become a lot more based on their expertise and the delivery of that service. So we appreciate them. Also coming up on the Life Coach Radio Network, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, we will have Walk Your Talk with Leanne and Roberto. And they'll be discussing the topic, healing your relationship, healing your relationship. We're glad that you were able to be with us. We look forward to hearing from you and you hearing from us in the future. Until then, we will close out our episode. Thank you, Ms. McMillan, for being with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you guys for listening. And we hope to hear from you again soon. Have a great night.